Miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepherd. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Thanks for checking us out on a Monday. What? Pete and I just stepped outside here during a commercial break at the top of the hour. It is picture perfect out. It is
not a cloud in the sky.
Oh man, unbelievable!
Not a cloud in the sky. Sunny, record high, 83 degrees. I mean, look at the forecast. Just in the 80s, and the humidity is dissipating a lot, and it will be over the next few days.
It's gonna
be
cool high fronts
80s.
Coming. Yeah,
Saturday's going to be 78. Easter Sunday, 81. Sun.
We'll take it. Also, tomorrow night, Pete and I, after the show, I'll be playing poker, as we do every third Tuesday of the month, out at the dog track on Bonita Beach Road. So come on by, knock us out, get a $100 bounty. We'll have some fun with that. All right, I want to revisit this conversation that we're just kind of getting warmed up on. We both have enjoyed the Tiger Woods glow, if you will, back on top, winning the Masters. Certainly like your reaction to that. In addition to the fact that Sarah Spain, whose show follows us on the ESPN network, look, she's entitled to her opinion, but she's a little Debbie Downer. She's putting some water on the flame here on the Tiger excitement.
I want to be fair to her. I think she's only saying, she's not saying, you know, she's upset at the people telling her that if you're not crying, you're not human. I think that's the part that she's not upset, but that's the reason why she wrote this. But I understand that. It's almost like telling people that if you don't like the World Cup, then you don't have soul. That kind of thing. You know, when somebody's telling you, you have to.
Right.
No, I think her last line before we get to the call, she says in her piece, you can root for that perfect scene on the final hole and still see it within the context of his larger story. My humanity doesn't hinge on whether Tiger's win brought me to tears. In fact, perhaps it's more fully evidenced by the fact that it didn't. I mean, it brought me to tears for a lot of reasons. One, it reminded me of my dad who passed away 5 years ago, and that was a tradition with us all the time. Always watched the Masters together. So every year, regardless, I always think of him, and it would have been extra special to be sitting there with him during this particular event because he loved Tiger, and it would have been fascinating to be with him there. But that aside, I totally agree. I got caught up in the moment. I was tearing up on 17 as he was getting to it. I was getting emotional about it.
I was nervous. I was tearing up there. I was nervous.
I'm a big fluffy Italian guy. What can I tell you? I cry at things. It's just that's my nature. I'm not going to apologize for it.
Let's go to the phones. 239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776. John in Fort Myers. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Go ahead, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. It's actually Tiz. They didn't get my name correct.
Oh, hey, Tiz. What's going on, man?
What's up, man?
How you guys doing?
Good.
As soon as I heard you guys say that Sarah Spain had a story on it, I'm like, oh, man, she's going to trash it and feel the guilt for what Tiger did in the past. And obviously you guys hit on it right before we went to break. So, I mean, I'm just going to repeat the same point that you repeated, Craig, about, you know, I mean, I understand fidelity and it's not no one condones that, but it's not abuse, it's nothing like that. And everybody had, I mean, not to say that everybody has to get emotional over something like that, just like nobody has to like Game of Thrones, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
But
thank you.
That really hurt my feelings.
but at the same time, I mean, that was really special when he hugged his son, and I have a 13-year-old son. I mean, that was just a special moment, and yeah, I get a little emotional just thinking about it now, you know?
Yeah. Well, John, I think what really aggravated her, though, was with people like telling her that if you're not crying, you're not human. I kind of understand that because when people tell other people that, when I say to people, I say to Craig all the time, how can you not like the NHL? How do you grow up in an original six city and not like the Red Wings? And we have tongue in cheek about it, but I think it's like that. Well, sometimes you just don't. Sometimes it's to each his own, but I agree with you too, Tiz, that. I'm not sure she was being Debbie Downer here. She's just saying, I enjoyed the moment, but don't hate me because I am not moved to tears.
Yeah.
I was several times. I get moved to tears on the show every day.
Well, I'm kind of like a fluffy Italian guy too, Pete. So the tears part.
Okay.
All right, Tiz. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. LeBron hater number one. That is a Debbie Downer. I was rooting for him not to win so we could avoid this day. Come on.
What are you talking about?
775, I realized yesterday that the majority of white people love Tiger more than any other black athlete ever. Why? Is that even a category?
What?
Is that a thing?
Yeah, he's also Thai. I mean, he's Asian.
A lot of athletes are black.
Does that go for Asian people too?
I don't know.
He's Asian. I mean,
I'm not sure.
Why?
People love Michael Jordan. I don't get the premise there.
How about Magic? I mean,
yeah. But now we make fun of Magic.
No,
but we used to really hold him on a high pedestal.
Well, we made fun of how he handled leaving the presidency of the Lakers. But
no. Terry in Fort Myers, you're on with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Go ahead.
Hi, Terry.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Caller. I just got a quick question. I was wondering, what do you guys think about this being a Tiger's swan song, much like Jack did in 86 when he won for the sixth time?
Yeah.
I don't really see him beating Jack's record and him being at 42 years old.
Yeah, a lot of people want to talk about him doing that. Yeah, that's still three more majors is a long way to go.
If I had a future of his x-ray chart, you know, of his body and physically, how it was going to hold up, it'd be a different story, Terry. But I agree. I think it's going to be extremely difficult to catch him. Not impossible, but it'll be extremely difficult.
And not because of him, because of the competition is from 20 years ago to now. I mean, there's like 12 guys that can win any week out there.
But is it more the competition, Terry? I'll ask you the same thing. Is it more the competition, or is it more about him holding up physically, or both?
I think it's holding up physically. I think he will get Sam Snead's record. I think he will, because I think he's at 81. Sam Snead was at 82. So I think he will get Sam Snead's record. He will beat that. But as far as matching what Jack does with the Masters with at six and obviously getting to 18, I don't think he'll do. But I don't even know if he'll really get to six for the Masters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know either. Thank you. I appreciate the phone
call. Terry.
I have always said, and believe me, this looked kind of bleak a little while ago. I always thought Tiger had one more major left in him. I've been saying that for about 3 years.
I agree, because we didn't know how his back or his knees or godly knows what else
was ailing him. He accomplished that. Mm-hmm. And he said, look, winning the 15th major was going to be the hardest ever because of the comeback, the time that has gone by. Look, everything else is frosting on the cake at this point. He's made his point with his legacy again.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. The next two majors are at courses he's won at before. Can it happen? Yeah, he can get a few more.
And he also did something in this Masters, or is it Masters, or I can't believe it was a Masters stat or a Majors stat.
I think it was a Majors
where he never won after not being
up after 54
after
holes.
After 54 holes.
Yeah.
I mean, and he did it.
Yep.
Sure with did. Incredible competition.
Yep. Yep, no doubt about it. Let's get a female perspective. Lisa in Fort Myers, you're on with Sheeman and Shepard. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. It's nice hearing from you. I love you every day when I drive home from work.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Thank you.
Just wanted to comment on the Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
I think the most human side of it that I enjoyed more than anything was the acknowledgement of the presence of his mom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was amazing about how she was the one taking him to all his tournaments. And all of that. And then, of course, he segued into his father. But I think his humility and his humbleness, it's present, his maturity. And I think people have to not forget the past, but let him know he's an adult now. He's a grown man with kids. And I think he has segued into the person his parents could be proud of.
And remember, Lisa and Pete, when everything was going down with Elon, his ex-wife, he held a press conference with his mom, and his mom was very, you know, publicly outspoken against Tiger's behavior.
Yes.
And that left an impression on me as well.
Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, she's always there for him.
But Lisa, as you were watching, and I'm assuming you did watch a big chunk of this tournament, did it affect your viewing at all, thinking about the past in any way?
Absolutely not, because, you know, let me tell you something, who my most favorite person in the world is. It's Kobe Bryant. And he was being held accountable for criminal activity.
Yeah.
So, I mean, adultery, I don't know.
Yeah.
Was it something that he had to make peace with his family? Absolutely. But not with the public.
Yeah. Great phone call,
Great
Lisa.
Call, Lisa.
Thank
Lisa.
You.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
Interesting. I wonder if any other female perspective, if they share that view as a very well thought out, lucid point that she made there. And others too. I mean, everybody has. We have great callers on the show.
Look, that becomes
overall.
Between him and his family. That's different from rooting for guys. I mean, they're all.
But I do think men and women are going to have different perspectives on this at times.
Sarah did, right?
Yeah.
So It's pretty interesting. I thought when I lived in Los Angeles when Kobe was going through the thing mm-hmm. with the trial in Colorado and flying back and forth in games, and I thought it was over for him publicly. I mean, yeah, he could probably still, unless he was going to jail.
By the way, if that happened now to today, it would be
It would be right. I thought he was going to jail. I thought it was over. I thought even if he didn't go to jail, it was going to be over. It would be a pariah. There would be no endorsements. And he bounced back from that and it proved another thing to me, that America mm-hmm. ultimately will forgive you on the bounce back. They want to see you hit rock bottom, and they will cheer for you on mm-hmm. the way up. Everybody loves the comeback, and that's what makes Tiger's story the comeback. He was rock bottom, man. He was strung out on Ambien. He lost his wife. He had a public image. Remember how controlled his image was of himself.
Look at the DUI picture. I was with you that first year. We were together.
Yeah, we've got a mugshot.
We're going, oh, my God, can it get any? That was when I said there's no way. Forget winning a Masters.
Yeah. No kidding. I love more reaction on that. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
941 says, the Stony Brook text line, my opinion and post after you won, the Tiger Woods is proof that no matter how low times can be, you can always get back on top with focus, dedication, and hard work. Congratulations, Tiger. You're an inspiration to many.
I did think that was inspirational. I did.
I did, too.
I mean, it was been one a of the long most, time.
On television, for me, certainly for golf, you know, Jack winning in 86, I was on vacation with my parents in Florida back then. I remember sitting with my dad. We were just in awe. And this surpassed that. I wasn't moved to tears when Jack won. I was very happy because I was younger. I was 19.
I was too young to appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it, but I was 19. But now, just watching, because I was so and so into the whole tournament and every shot from everybody, you put so much time and effort into it. Yeah. You just get caught. It's tough not to get caught up in the emotion. And I think there are a lot of people out there who are going to lie to people and say they didn't cry with it because it's not make them manly enough or they look like, you know, don't want to be perceived as being a wuss. Yeah. You're not a wuss if you cried or teared up a little bit, get emotional. You can be as manly as you want, still show emotion in times like this.
Also, with Jack, it wasn't he was 46. He was a little mm-hmm. older than Tiger. He had been on the decline. I think he had not made cuts in his last two of his last three events. Mm-hmm. He had started getting a few injuries himself, and he was getting old. And then all of a sudden, it was kind of almost fluky. Just had that hot Sunday, came mm-hmm. from behind and won, and was one last spark of Jack. Tiger, we've seen at the top of the world. We've seen at the bottom. And then we've seen this climb over the last 14 months that was like, wow, this could actually happen. And I think he's come from a much lower point than anybody else has. Jack was on decline and just mm-hmm. had one more spark of greatness. But
and just from, as you said, just from forget the personal stuff, that in itself, the mental anguish there, and he brought it on himself. Let's mm-hmm. make that clear. But the physical pain that he was going, remember him on his knees.
Yeah.
Lying out. I mean, just on his knees.
Nike
just
put that in a commercial from yesterday that they just
That's
released.
Right. They did.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the phones at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Let's go to Tony on line two. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. What's up, Tony?
Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's
how
up? Are you?
Hi, listen. I'm doing good. I listen to your show every day on the way home from work.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you.
And although
thank you very much.
I'm not a huge golf fan, I thought it was pretty cool that mm-hmm. Tiger did win yesterday. But the thought that comes to my mind is I think a lot what we're forgetting about is even though it's a personal thing, it's still in my mind. Let's talk about being a role model, you know, as far as to the kids and mm-hmm. and just family in general. It is a personal thing, and what had happened is between him and his wife. But with that being said, I have three kids, and one of my kids is a diehard sports fan. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to make that comment on it being a role model, you mm-hmm. know.
So he falls short, is what you're saying, for your kids,
and
as opposed to a Tim Tebow type.
You
is
should
that,
be the,
is that where you're going?
You should be the role model, Tony. You.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's true, and I try to be, but I just don't think we should forget about that because I'm not a huge figure out there like he is, and I still think that plays a big role on being a role model to just kids in general. You know, And that's just a comment I wanted to
make.
Well,
can I ask? Can I ask? I'm just curious. Like, who is your kid's favorite athlete? Let's. Who do they really like? Who do they have posters of in their room? Who do they like?
Well, we are mainly huge baseball fans, and we are Cardinals.
Okay.
Born and raised in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Well, probably my biggest would be for my son is Pujols, even though he's not with the Cardinals anymore. But Molina and all the guys with the St. Louis Cardinals, and although we are big Dolphin fans.
Yeah.
And I do think it was awesome that he won yesterday. See him come back with all the injuries and what he has went through physically and mentally. Mm-hmm. I applaud him. Yeah. You know, I don't have anything against Tiger. I just wanted to make that comment because I still think it's huge when you have kids, even into the teenage ages and adults, growing up looking at such a big figure. You can't throw that under the blanket of being a role model.
No, you can't.
I think there's some people, a lot of people, that would agree with your way of thinking. Tony.
Absolutely.
Appreciate the call.
And by the way, St. Louis, and it's not even close. There are a lot of teams that are good baseball fans, but they're fans of their own team. St. Louis fans are the best baseball fans in the country. And it's because they follow the game.
Yeah.
They follow the game, not only locally, but nationally. You can say what you want about Red Sox, Yankees, Mets, Phillies. It's all about their team.
Yeah.
No question. On the whole.
Yep.
But St. Louis fans are the best baseball fans in the country because they follow it nationally.
Let's go back to the phones. Peter in Naples. You're on with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Go ahead.
Hey, Peter.
Yeah, hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Hey, Pete, nice to hear a familiar voice from Boston.
Oh, thanks.
Craig, you're growing on me, so.
Thank you. Thanks for giving
me a
shot.
He's like a fungus. Doubles in size, you know, with the French fry lights that he's underneath. You know, he can't help but grow on you.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to touch base on Tiger and catching Jack. And my point would be that, you know, if Bruce Koepka can go on a run of three out of the last seven movies, then certainly Tiger Woods has the experience and knowledge to do that. You
sure,
know?
Sure.
So he just got to catch lightning in a bottle. I think he might have a shot.
Yeah,
if he stays healthy.
I would recommend him doing most of the heavy lifting this year. I mean, Father Time's going to creep in pretty fast, but you're right, Peter. I appreciate that. And, yes, they called him
Bruce like 8,000 times.
Bruce Koepka several times on the broadcast.
Bruce Koepka, yeah.
All right, thanks, Peter. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Peter. Appreciate it. Thanks
for
the kind words.
Let's go to Jared in Fort Myers. What's up?
Hey, Jared.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much. How you doing?
I just wanted to comment on the whole Tiger Woods being like a role model aspect. At what point in sports do we let things go? I mean, I'm a Philly fan, and for years I've heard about the Mike Vick dogfighting thing. Like, the past is the past. Can we just look towards, like, what people are doing in the moment and, like, praise what they're doing in the moment? Like,
sure.
We have to move on eventually, right?
Yeah, like, sure, Jared. But here's the thing is, I think, you know, when I was younger, I idolized a lot of baseball players and hockey players and everything. I didn't know them, but I idolized them. But as you get older and into your late teens, you start to think, you know what? And I'm going to root for these guys, but you know, I looked much harder at my parents and some of my teachers and relatives that were clear role models. Where as athletes, you know, really don't give a damn about you, and if they don't, I mean, they say they do, but they don't. Most of them, and your real role model should be your family or maybe some of your teachers or professors. That's where you're going to get most of your guidance from, because you know, like they say in Bronx Tale. You know, Mickey Mantle, why are you crying? Mickey Mantle, Bill Mazeroski made Mickey Mantle cry. He goes, Mickey Mantle? He goes, your father can't pay the rent. Go ask Mickey Mantle. See what he says. You know? I mean, that's where you can idolize and root for people, but then you got to draw that line at some point and say, look, man, my mother, my father, my aunt, my uncle, my professor, and my teacher, those are the people that sculpted and molded me.
Yeah, think about it. A lot of people don't have that to look up to, you know, especially some of these, you know, lower class citizens grew up in the slums, like,
sure.
Even myself. We look up to these people, and yeah, everybody, you know, makes mistakes, but at one point, you know, no one's perfect. I'd rather have a role model who fell at one point, made a mistake, and bounced back and had that comeback instead of always bringing up that one, two, three times they messed up.
Jared, what Tiger has done, which nobody, I don't care if Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic, I don't care. Tiger Woods made people interested in the sport that a lot of younger kids and all ethnic groups didn't really care about.
I agree.
And absolutely changed the culture of golf, and that will never be repeated, I don't think, in any sport. You can talk to me about all the soccer players in the world right now, all the baseball players. Mike Trout's not going to change anybody's thinking. Tiger Woods changed a culture.
It was
amazing, and no one's ever going to do that again. Maybe Muhammad Ali back in the day.
Yeah.
But Tiger is, for now, the last. Nobody's ever going to duplicate what he's done, ever.
All right. Thank you, Jared. Appreciate the phone call.
Yep.
239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Greg in Venice, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Go ahead.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. You guys are great. I listen to you all the time.
Thanks so much.
You're the man. Thanks so much.
Hey, listen. Thank you. Listen, I just want to make a comment to that one caller's point about, you know, Tiger being a role model or whatnot. But, you know, we forget, too, that it wasn't just but a few months ago he was found on the side of the road, overdosed on good God knows what.
Yeah, we talked about
on
it.
Ambien,
we just brought that up. We had his mugshot. You
know, went to rehab.
I mean, yeah.
So to say that he's, you know, the man, look, he's a great athlete. Tiger grew up in a whole different world than we did, brother. He was completely brought up in a shell of a community, and how his dad brought him up, went into college, then he became a millionaire almost immediately. When he became an adult. So he hasn't lived in the world we live in. It's a whole different deal with all these celebrities and all these athletes, man, because they got the cake in their pocket. And, you know, so we can't really – it's tough to look at it and say, hey, he should be this and should be that. Back in the day, looking at Havlicek, you know, guys like Staubach, you know, good old boys that were – I mean, it doesn't matter what color you are, of course, now, but good old boys that, you know, they did toe the line. They had a little bit more moral fiber, a little character to them. Are those days gone? I think so, because those players just pretty much aren't around much anymore. It's either in the steroids or something, because our culture's changed. It's all about getting one over the other guy and being all whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's a tough one. You've got to teach your kids their own moral compass.
Well, the big difference, though, Greg, between then and now, the guys you just mentioned, is social media. And we don't know what went on behind the scenes. We think we know all these guys, and everybody's moralistic and blah. And I get it, and I'm not saying they're not. And I have never met Roger Staubach. I have been around John Havlicek a couple times, and he's a great man. I love him to death, just the sweetest guy in the world. But I don't, you know, all these guys, any athlete or any entertainer, I don't know what goes on behind closed. And with social media now, social media was back in the 60s.
With the law.
Yeah.
They weren't getting in trouble with the law. They weren't getting in the press like this. They had a little more class, let's just be honest. I mean, whatever happened behind closed doors was nothing like it's happening today.
No, I'm with you. On the whole, you're right. But there also wasn't any social media and people taping every little word that you say and every action that you do is publicized. It's attaining. I mean, the Antonio Browns of the world. Can you imagine Antonio Brown, what he'd be like in the 1970s?
Well, yeah, no, I can't. But, you know, that's the one thing I never got about when Tiger was being doing his infidelity. With all the cameras around, you never saw anything. Nobody ever followed him at a club.
It was
hanging
amazing.
Out with another chick that
to
wasn't
sleep
his
with
wife.
All those women and not get caught?
I agree.
That's talent.
Wow.
I know, but I mean.
I would use a different word, but you're right.
You know,
that's amazing.
I mean, it is amazing. It really is in this day and age. And it was how he did it.
Yeah.
Or who he paid.
He was the biggest athlete in the world.
How many hundreds of thousands / millions in hush money did he have to pay off in his time? I bet a lot.
Well, that $1 billion took a dent. Then half of it went to Elon.
Half.
All right, we'll continue this conversation. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
Yes, Tiger Woods is your role model.
Yeah, and Sarah Spain's comments as well. We'll update you on our Twin Peaks Twitter polls. Russell Wilson's deadline to the Seahawks is midnight tonight, Eastern time. It does not look like that's going to happen. So we got all that coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. We spent a lot of time today talking about Tiger Woods. What a great moment that was in sports this weekend. Then we spun off into another side topic is whether he is a role model following Sarah Spain, whose show follows us on ESPN. rained on the parade a little bit. And look, she's entitled to this opinion, but she wanted to, she didn't like that she was called non-human for not tearing up at the end, because she still harbors a strong memory of all the other things that Tiger did off the course.
I think she speaks for many. Not for me, but I do think she speaks for many. I totally understand it. I get it. But it was hard just for me. I'm not saying it's right or wrong for you if teared up or get caught up in the moment or not. I'm just saying it was an emotional couple of days for me to watch him do what he did. And yeah. I know everything. We all know about his past, and I understand all that.
Yeah.
But I was just absolutely glued to every shot that he made. Everything.
Absolutely. And how often can you say that? When's the last time you were like
with
that?
With him.
I mean,
with him.
Take your beloved Boston Red Sox. Yeah. I don't know if you're there every single pitch or if you tune in and out a little bit. But not this. This we were glued every hit.
Well, first of all, they suck right now. They lost again today to the Orioles to a guy that now has lowered his ERA straightly to 10.25. What does that tell you?
On Patriot Day, no less.
They look just disinterested. It's unfortunate right now. Anyway, long way to go. By the way, Lawrence Cirono beat out Lalisa DeCisa. And I've never seen in my lifetime, I don't remember, the Boston Marathon come down to three guys in the last couple of blocks.
A sprint
to the finish, and he beat him by a second.
Wow.
Lawrence did. Cirono. I don't know who won.
Is he from Kenya?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, very good.
And just real quick, Oakland Raiders wide receiver Antonio Brown has reached a settlement in South Florida. He faced two lawsuits. Remember this from April?
Yes.
In which he allegedly yelled at security and then
threw furniture
off his balcony.
Yeah.
Both lawsuits were for damages in excess of $15,000, exclusive attorney's fees and interest. And he has settled the suit brought by the guardian of a 2-year-old boy alleging
that means he paid.
Intentional infliction of emotional distress and assault.
He paid.
After items flung from the 14th floor of the mansions of Aquilina nearly hit the child. The child was with his grandfather near the pool area of the complex when large items, including two vases, an ottoman, and other pieces of furniture fell close to them, according to the filings, which say the child has experienced anxiety and trouble sleeping since. The owner of the multimillion-dollar condo, Brown, leased, filed suit against Brown for damages and breaching an apartment agreement. So this is the same man that tweeted out about the Lord last week about please do unto others as you would have done to yourself. Okay, I'll tell you what, Antonio, why don't you hang up by the pool? I'll get a couple of pieces of front. I'll get an ottoman. And I don't know. I got some tables I can chuck down to 14th floor. See how you feel after they crash land by your feet.
All right, AB.
What a jerk.
Let's go to the phones. 239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776. Dave in Fort Myers. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Great, guys. Great show. Thanks. I want to say I listen every day.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Religiously, and I really enjoy, you know, the back and forth between you guys.
Thank you.
And
Thank you.
The content that you cover every day. So great job with that.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Did want to talk about Tiger and, you know, the role model thing. You know, I think each person has things that they, you know, nobody's perfect and everybody makes mistakes in life, but if you want to, you know, pick certain parts of somebody's life and model it after, you know, yourself or make that particular part something that you should role model after, Tiger's, you know, intensity of his comeback, his, you know, his willingness to not give up ever.
Right.
You know, no matter what happened on his personal side, if you wanted to teach a young, you know, lady or a young man, you know, what can happen to you with hard work, dedication, and use those things that he went through on his professional side, you know, to get back to where he was. Those are great examples because every person makes mistakes in their life and they do things that, you know, you might be ashamed of or you're not very proud of. But there's certain parts that I believe you can pick from each person's life and take little bits and pieces. And I think the, you know, the professional side of Tiger is one that you can show to anybody and, you know, use that as a great model for success.
Dave, I think that's a great point, and that's how I look at it. Thanks for the call. I was inspired by it, and I'm inspired by his single-mindedness to be the best ever back when he was younger. That was awesome. And to see his fall personally and professionally, And then, again, it was just 2 years ago where he was at the champions dinner. He couldn't walk. He couldn't sit down. He couldn't get out of bed hardly, but he showed up for it. And he had already had three back surgeries, and he told everybody he was done. He'll never play golf again. And I think it was Jack Nicklaus who said, look, this is awful. I got a guy. Give him a call.
Yep.
And he did the radical back fusion, which is, and I think they went through his front. They opened him up, moved his stomach around, fused the spine. And since a long recovery, you just kind of baby your way through it. And that's exactly what he's done. And look at him. He's back on top of
amazing.
The world.
And this is just happening now. The president, Donald Trump, spoke to Tiger Woods. This is a tweet. Spoke to Tiger Woods to congratulate him on the great victory he had in yesterday's Masters and to inform him that because of his incredible success and comeback in sports, parentheses golf. Did he have to put the parentheses golf in? And more importantly, life, which is in all caps but no parentheses.
Okay.
I will be presenting him with the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Now
about that
I thought
Arthur Ashe, Muhammad Ali, Billie Jean King, Michael Jordan, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer as athletes to receive the award.
Sometimes that is a military award, but it's also a civilian award. Well, no, I take that back. It's the highest civilian award a president can give.
When did you get yours?
I haven't got mine yet. I'm still waiting on it.
It's ridiculous.
But it can be given for cultural endeavors and achievement. The president of the United States could have said, wow, that was really awesome. I'm going to give you a medal for it.
I just love you put parentheses golf. What is it going to be? Checkers?
Yeah.
Well, volleyball?
Commercials? I don't know. Well, that's true.
I find that really funny.
That is funny. That is funny.
It's funny when I look at it.
Stony Brook Golf Club text line. We've got a couple of texts here. Where is Chris? Well, if you're just tuning in, this is your normal time of day to listen.
He's sleeping.
Chris did.
He has jet lag.
He did show up earlier today. Here's the deal. By the way, I hammered him for not calling the show on Friday.
I did not because I knew he would not.
But he was following Tiger, and it was at the peak of all the excitement and
he
the weather delay.
Teed off at 1:50 that day. Yeah. He wasn't calling in. Yeah. It would have been more to agree with you if it was an earlier.
He let us down. He let us down.
He let you down.
He did. I said he would call. I told our listeners he would.
Wouldn't bet me a sandwich.
So anyway, fast forward to Sunday, you know, he was going to watch the Masters typically till 6 or 7 o'clock, catch a 10 o'clock flight, one connection, come home. Well, then the Masters gets moved up 6 hours. And so he's done at 3 o'clock, got a 10 p.m. flight. Had he gotten in a car and rented one, he could have been home.
Well, but it cost $600 to transfer.
To change the flight.
$600.
Keep in mind, there were probably about 20,000 people that had the same idea. Hey, let me get an earlier flight.
And he had a couple of buddies he probably would have had a spring for, too.
Yeah. So it was $600 to change the flight, as you said. So he decided to wait.
Uber home.
But then all the weather in the Northeast, the actual plane couldn't get into Atlanta that he needed. He said he backed away from the runway at 2 a.m. Normally, they would cancel those flights, but there were so many people, I imagine, coming from Augusta and Atlanta and trying to get home, that they did the flight. They backed away. He said he got home at 4 a.m. So he showed up here, did all this business nonsense in the early half of the day, and started the first hour of our show. And we now have Logan and Robbie on the other side of the glass finishing the show, getting to the finish line.
People that have watched Game of Thrones that can talk intelligently about it. Unlike you.
Well, he was here to have the conversation. I watched last night. I gave my opinion.
You fell asleep, you said.
I nudged myself awake. So I actually saw the all 105 minutes. I was bored. I thought it was slow. And unlike what you say, I am able to pick up where you say I have to watch all 8 years of it. Yeah. I'm like, no, I'm pretty smart. I can figure most of it out. And I'm intelligent enough to ask questions of the things I do not understand, like the wheelchair boy.
No. And for a show of respect, his name is Bran, and he's the three-eyed raven. And he was pushed out of a
why is he three? I didn't
window.
See three eyes on him. Did he have three eyes?
It's Nick.
Oh. See?
He could see visions that come true. But if had you seen what happened to him, how he became paralyzed, you would not treat it so glibly. Is that a word, glibly?
It is today.
All right.
So how did he become paralyzed?
I told you.
I don't remember.
He was watching Jamie and Cersei, brother and sister, going at it.
Yeah.
And
what do you mean going at it?
Having sex. And he had climbed up. He was a
As a young boy?
Listen to me. Early in the show, his mom was calling them, the queen, saying, you know, we're all right. He would always climb up high because he liked to climb. Like, we'd climb trees. He would climb towers. Okay. He would climb big rocky things, you know, big buildings.
Yeah.
So she's like, stop, don't do that. So at the end of the show, he did climb up and way up, like on a castle type, and was happened to be looking in the window and saw them going at it. And Jamie went up to him.
Yeah.
And looked like he was going to help him in, reached out his hand to help him in, and then pushed him.
No way!
Yeah, and he fell.
Tried to murder him.
Wow. Except it didn't happen.
Unbelievable.
See? Now watch episode one.
I'm not watching anymore. I watched two episodes, too much of my time.
Oh, my God.
The plot moved too slow.
It did not move too slow.
I know. You said it was a setup plot. I mean, we waited 2 years for this. It was a big letdown.
It's ridiculous. It was not a letdown.
By the way, speaking of climbing towers...
Yes.
So how tall was this tower?
I'd say over 100 feet. He fell over 100 feet.
I only mention this because in the real world today,
this is awful. Yeah.
The cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris caught on fire. Like it's a terrible. Bad deal. And this thing is like what 12th century? What does that make it? 900 years old?
Yeah, and I don't know.
And the firemen, in order to get to the roof that was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
They had to build scaffolding on the front end of the building. That takes time.
Yeah.
Then climb it. Then get their hoses up there and start putting water on this thing. I mean, it's been burning all day.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never – it's one place in Europe I haven't been. I haven't been there. But the – I don't know what – like, are the ceilings painted? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of flammable. It's obviously an extremely old building, centuries old.
Well, I know that every church I went to in Italy has got like Michelangelo painting the ceiling. I wonder what there was some frescoes or something.
You got to wonder if it was an electrical fire. I hope that if the God, I hope if
hope it was a terrorism
that it was. I hope it wasn't that. We don't know, but it started at the top and it's basically burned down. It is absolutely
the spire collapsed. Yeah. By the way,
yes.
So just incredible. Sad news today.
Mm-hmm.
Let me squeeze in a quick call before break here. 239-337-ESPN. Mac checking in. Is it Mac from Buffalo? What's up, man?
What's up, Mac?
Hey, what's going on, man?
You in Buffalo right now?
No. Are you kidding me?
You're from Buffalo. Gotcha.
A couple things. Of course, Tiger it definitely was fantastic. And I do think he's going to be the favorite for the Masters next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If he's healthy.
Right.
He probably got that spark back. But Game of Thrones, I followed it every single season. I couldn't understand it, but a coworker explained it all.
Yeah.
And it was slow, but. You know, you watch Detroit play football.
Good point.
I mean, is there anything slower than a football game?
You're right.
Baseball game.
The Lions have their shortcomings. There's no doubt about it, Mac.
All right, guys. Good
luck. All right, Mac. Thanks,
I appreciate it. Thank you for the jab. 239-337.
Ultimate insult.
ESPN 239-337-3776. Tiger Woods. Character. Do you hold his pass against him? Did you love the moment last night? Did you tear up? Game of Thrones phone calls. We got it all.
Did you tear up?
Did you tear up during Game of Thrones? Yeah. Pete did. He was crying all day yesterday. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Logan, Robbie, what is this? Sometimes Pete and I don't know the music. What is this?
This is Old Town Road, Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh, Billy Ray Cyrus.
God almighty.
Hannah Montana's dad?
That's right.
After Achy Breaky Heart, he actually had hits.
This can't be. This isn't a hit, is it?
I remember. I told you the night I was DJing in a club.
Number one
on
the country charts.
Really?
You know, back in the day when 90s music rocked, when Snap, I Got the Power, and Hammer was doing Too Legit, and Ace of Bass, and Rhythm as a Dancer, what else? Black Box, Everybody, CC Music Factory.
Yeah.
Back when dance music was danceable. What's funny is because in the business, right, because there's a format called CHR, which is Contemporary Hit Music.
Yeah.
So all the stations around the country, a contemporary hit does not matter what ethnic group, doesn't matter what type of music. It could be rap, rock, gospel, whatever. If it's CHR, it's CHR. So there was a big controversy when that song came out about the CHR stations that were country, if they should play it or not. So then they started playing. It was like, and I know the club I worked at, DJing on the side besides radio, we burnt it right in the middle of the dance floor one night. I just stopped. I go, that's it. I can't do
it's
it.
It's like Disco Demolition
can't
night
do
in
it.
Chicago.
It's like the Electric Slide, the original. Forget it. I'll do it. I'll play the second and third, but I'm not doing it anymore. And then thank God I wasn't around for the Macarena.
Oh, I love the Macarena. It's got a snappy beat.
I'd take a chisel and hammer it into my face. God almighty.
I saw that Robbie also wanted to say something on the other side of the glass. Robbie, you want to endear us to your...
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that song. You know, that was all Logan. Just saying, okay? Just saying.
I can figure that out.
Really sucked. Really bad. That was awful.
Well, you guys are getting texts now. LeBron hater number two says, keep those guys off the rejoin music.
No, the rejoin has been great.
Robbie's going, no, that's not me. That's
but
Logan.
Look, you were Billy Ray Cyrus guy? Oh,
no, he's just messing with us.
I would have. I mean, at least the intro to Achy Breaky Heart is somewhat uppity.
No, don't give him any ideas. Let's go to the
phones. It's all about the mullet.
239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Oh, Jeff in Fort Myers. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. What's up?
Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, gentlemen?
What's happening?
How are you?
Hey, man, love him or hate him, Billy Ray Cyrus' mullet was nuts level.
Yeah, it was. For a couple of weeks. Yeah, it was. That was the big thing back then, yeah.
Yeah, so last night, so I hear you guys about Game of Thrones being kind of slow.
Yes.
And if you guys have kids, you'll appreciate this. So, sure enough, I'm waiting my whole life for this episode of Game of Thrones. Yeah. And sure enough, my 3-year-old daughter pulls the thing where she gets out of bed 653 times because she can't sleep.
Right.
So I didn't even get to start watching it until like 10:30 at night, and I got to be up at 5. But there was nothing that was going to stop me from watching it.
Right.
But then I watched it, and I was like, why do I feel like it should have been way better than that?
Yes, I agree with you.
No.
But then, hold on, there was – so today I was like longing – I'm like, is there something I missed? So I'm like looking up articles and all kinds of crazy the people out there that are like – psychotic about it. So there was a really good video that you got to watch, and it was the 13 things you missed about last night's episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually really cool. It was kind of like Easter eggs for like the diehard fans.
Sure.
It was really artistic, and it was all about mirroring the very first season.
Bingo.
So like
first episode
were exactly the same, and the meetings were the same, and they slipped a lot of one-liners in.
So it was a repeat.
I totally agree. No, it was not a repeat. It was very emotional. It was very well thought out, Jeff. Absolutely. Absolutely. So Craig just doesn't get it.
Thanks, Jeff.
He's never seen season one, episode one. He has no common point of reference.
I've seen episode one, season seven, and now eight, and I regret both of them.
Hang on, you say, Craig and Pete are a little old on the older side. When they haven't heard on Old Town Road, biggest song in pop, that song wasn't any close to Achy Breaky Heart. We would have heard it, right? Was it?
Yeah, I think it was at the same time.
I don't know if he's being, he's got a smiley face. He's got a smiley face emoji on him.
You only heard Achy Breaky Heart. You didn't hear the rest of the songs on the album.
I didn't want to hear it anymore. Nobody after heard that. Them. Why would you want to?
Exactly. Fact.
Don't country people, I'm not a country music aficionado like I am about everything else in life, but don't country people like hate him? Didn't he get ripped for Achy Breaky Heart because they thought
he's
quote-unquote sold out, which I don't believe in that. It's the same thing about Springsteen when he made Born in the USA.
Yeah.
Bruce sold out. They said the thing about Yes, too, when they made that album with
He's no Kerry Underwood. That's country music now. That's all I'm talking about.
I like Carrie, but
who doesn't?
I don't know. I don't know any one of her songs off the top of my head. If you played it, I would know it.
Yeah,
but I do not. I couldn't name you one song off the top of my head that she sings.
How about Sunday Night Football?
That's different. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So Chris is not here. He was here, but he left. He's tired. He's taking a nap. We should call him. It's time to wake up and make dinner.
No.
And he'll be back tomorrow for more of his Masters exploits. No, probably not. More of your phone calls. Tiger, Sarah Spain's article on Tiger, Game of Thrones. It's all on the board. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.